This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Russ George, the one-man geoengineering phenomenon, strikes again. And despite an ocean dumping and geoengineering ban by 192 countries, George has help from Canada and the U.S. This time, the green-talking former CEO of Planktos Corp. didn't just dump some red paint off the back of Neil Young's yacht, as he did in 2002. George has secretly added 100 tons of iron sulfate to the ocean off Canada's west coast to create an algae bloom. In 2007, Radio EcoShock did a one-hour interview with Russ George, followed by a second-hole program with his critics, including Pat Mooney of the ETC Group. Interest is huge. The Pat Mooney interview has been downloaded at least 20,000 times. After Planktos went down in flames amid accusations of shady promoters from Vancouver and stock manipulation, Russ George faded from the public eye, but he never stopped dreaming he could help stop climate change or make money using ocean life. George wants to make that money by seeding the world's oceans with iron to stimulate algae growth. Now the ETC Group has revealed his latest plot. It was first published in The Guardian and picked up by Canadian newspapers. Is it covert geoengineering or rogue geoengineering? Jim Thomas joins us from the International Environmental Watchdog Agency, the ETC Group, or the Etc. Group. Welcome, Jim.
Hello.
Well, despite all the international outcry, Russ George manages to try geoengineering again, and we only find out about it a couple of months later. How did your group discover it?
Well, as you know, we've been monitoring geoengineering for some time, and we've also been involved in the negotiations at the Convention on Biological Diversity, which are at this moment going on in India, trying to put a ban on geoengineering experiments. And at the edges of that meeting, we began to hear rumors that this had happened, this ocean fertilization dump. So we investigated it, and it turned out to be true.
And so what do we know?
Well, what we know is that Russ George, who was formerly from Planktos, has convinced a community in Haida Gwaii off the coast of British Columbia, Canada, to give him a large amount of money to go out into the ocean and dump iron into the ocean. That he claims that he's dumped 100 tons into the ocean 200 nautical miles west of Haida Gwaii, and that that's created a 10,000 square kilometer plankton bloom. And that happened in July of this year. That's what he claims, and there certainly is a large plankton bloom. So it may be true.
Do we know the name of his ship?
His ship was called the Ocean Pearl. It was a fishing vessel that he rented. And his company, the shell company that he's using now, is called the Haida Salmon Restoration Corporation.
It's just amazing that somebody could sneak 100 tons, if that's what he really did, up the coast, and nobody talks about it? A multi-million dollar project, perhaps? How could this happen?
Well, it seems that Russ George and his collaborator, a guy called John Disney, who is the economic development officer for this particular village, sold this to the people of the village as a salmon restoration project. And they told them that if they dumped iron into the ocean, there would be a bloom, and the bloom would be for bringing back the salmon. And the loss of salmon on the West Coast here in Canada is a really big issue for Indigenous communities. And so that was compelling. They thought, let's try.
So he perhaps didn't use his old argument of we're going to stop climate change by getting the algae to soak up the carbon dioxide, or was that involved as well? Do we know?
Well, it seems that was involved as well. There's documents from the business plan that suggest that he promised the community they would be making money from carbon credits. From this bloom, and indeed his collaborator John Disney has told the press, as soon as we've got the information verified, we're going to start getting the carbon credits. So there was a promise that there would be money coming from carbon credits from sequestration, quite where he thought he was going to get somebody to give him carbon credits for ocean fertilization, given that it's effectively banned, or at least under very strong moratoria, is beyond me.
So really, he's up to his old games. I mean, this is what he was doing before. He was promising carbon credits for really what is an unverifiable process and selling them as a private company. It doesn't sound like he's changed much.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't sound like it. And what's particularly sad about this is, once again, the victims in this are a rather poor community who have been misled.
And where was the Canadian government? Isn't there a way to spot ocean dumping with the Coast Guard or satellite monitoring or something?
Well, that's the question right now, is how much did the Canadian government know about this beforehand? And did they try and stop it, or did they let it happen? The Canadian government has been remarkably vague and evasive when asked questions about what they knew. They say they've launched a probe and an investigation, so they're not talking. The people involved, both Russ George and his collaborator in the Haida Salmon Restoration Corporation, say that they did know that they were in fact working with the Canadian government, and that the National Research Council of Canada were involved. And certainly Canada is very much on the hook for this at the Convention on Biological Diversity and at the London Convention, because it is a Canadian ship. It left probably from a Canadian port. It certainly had Canadian scientists on board. And it was Canada that should have overseen this and prevented it from happening.
And it's possible that he does have scientists on board to verify this. Do we know who any of them might be?
Well, we do and we don't. Russ George himself was listed as the chief scientist of the HSRC. He's been very quiet in mentioning who the other scientists are, but if you look on the internet, you can find out that mostly they're recent graduates of universities in Canada. His senior scientist is a senior ocean scientist, seems to be a bachelor of science in chemistry and computer modeling. They don't seem to be very senior scientists at all.
Well, as far as I could find out, Russ George has a 4-year degree. He doesn't have any particular expertise in oceanography or algae or biology or zoology. How can he claim to be the senior scientist?
Well, Russ George has claimed to be all sorts of things throughout the years, whether it's in cold fusion or selling carbon credits to the Vatican. He's a man who seems to have a particular gift for convincing people of things. And unfortunately, that seems to be what he's done here.
This is Radio EcoShock. I'm speaking with Jim Thomas of the ETC Group, which has been monitoring geoengineering around the world. Now, Russ George, the former CEO of Planktos, has taken matters into his own hands, creating an unnatural algae bloom off Canada's west coast, we think. Well, Jim, what are the risks of experimenting with ocean life?
The reason why there is a moratorium on ocean fertilization experiments is because there's a set of questions that have been raised about what could happen to the ocean. And some of the concerns range from the potential when you create an unnatural bloom, which this would be, that you could favor the growth of harmful algal species, so species that could produce types of acid that could hurt seabirds and other wildlife, or the sort of red tides that we see in the Gulf of Mexico. That's one worry. Concerns that you would get a depletion of oxygen in the lower waters, and so that, again, would affect wildlife and the marine environment, that you could get some of the species outside the patch get reduced as a result of the ocean fertilization. And also that rather than sequestering carbon dioxide, which so far there doesn't seem to be much evidence that unnatural blooms are able to sequester CO2, instead you may get the production of other harmful greenhouse gases like methane and nitrous oxide. So these are some of the concerns that led 192 nations of the world to put in place a moratorium, first on ocean fertilization and then later on geoengineering more broadly. Of course, there are bigger ethical issues at play.
And Russ George, meanwhile, he claims he's collaborating with the U.S. National Ocean and Atmospheric Administration, but he's been so loose in the past with such endorsement and claims. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's true that he has got a lot of very expensive, sophisticated equipment on this trip. And he claims that, for example, 20 ocean-going bots, buoys, have been given to him by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in the U.S., and that they're collaborating. They may well have been given to him by NOAA. He also claims to have got some very sophisticated gliders, what are called sea gliders, from a Canadian outfit. He claims that NASA has been giving them training. So it's a really interesting question. Why is a U.S. federal agency giving very expensive equipment to this illegal dump?
And meanwhile, they go to meetings around the world and sign on to things saying that we shouldn't be doing this. So there's kind of covertly doing it. I think this is something new. It's covert geoengineering.
Well, I mean, certainly what's happening here with Russ George is rogue geoengineering. But certainly there's a worry that what we're seeing in the last few years is an increasing interest from the Canadian government, the U.S. government, the U.K. government, those three governments in particular, to allow a certain level of geoengineering testing, to move towards some sort of deployment of geoengineering experiments And so, yes, it begins to raise questions when you see a supposedly rogue experiment of this size that Canada just didn't happen to see and the U.S. federal agency seems to be involved with. I'm not saying there's a conspiracy here, but I think these countries need to account very quickly for what's happened.
And I understand there are, as you mentioned, ongoing meetings and conferences about geoengineering and international law. Is there a way to control rogue experimenters like Russ George?
One of the things that is being discussed right now at the UN Convention on Biological Diversity, which is meeting right now in India, in Hyderabad, is how do we put in place enforcement mechanisms? And then this just shows that up extremely well. How do we make sure that countries are checking that geoengineering experiments aren't going ahead or that experiments are not crossing the line to being geoengineering experiments? So we need to put that in place.
And that's one of my biggest fears about geoengineering. If a single country could just start pumping sulfur into the atmosphere, all of our atmosphere, or even launch a rocket full of mirrors out to block the sun, and now we see just a small scientific lab or even a member of the public could start their own show. It's like a free-for-all, and it could get more desperate as the climate deteriorates. Should we be frightened by the example Russ George sets?
Well, I think this is exactly why the international community, the countries who are meeting at the CBD and through the London Convention, have to give a very, very strong signal that geoengineering is not acceptable. It is not the correct way to address the climate crisis. It is extremely risky. It's inequitable. And that this is, you know, this is something that should be forbidden. That has to come very clearly from our world leaders. And instead, what we see is a number of countries, or particularly a small group of very powerful countries, who would like to go the other way. They'd like to see messages getting out there that maybe we should have geoengineering, maybe it should be part of the mix. And that will take apart existing commitments to try and address climate change through sensible means, and it will open the doors to these sort of rogue experiments.
Jim Thomas, is there anything else you would like to tell us as this story develops?
I think the question is going to be, can the world say this is the wrong direction to go and use this as an opportunity to put in place a strong, meaningful ban on experiments, geoengineering experiments, because we're going to see more of these. We're going to see experiments in the U.S. possibly later this year for putting sulfates in the atmosphere. We're going to see other proposals moving ahead to try and whiten clouds. As we hear more of these, we need to have a much clearer global position.
From Montreal, Canada, we've been talking with Jim Thomas of the Etc. Group. Find them at etcgroup.org. Jim, I know you've had media calls from all over the world. Thank you for making time for Radio EcoShock listeners.
You're very welcome.
You can find links to my in-depth coverage of ocean geoengineering in my show blog at ecoshock.info. Look for the posting October 17th, 2012. You'll find a one-hour interview with Russ George, where I confront him about claims made but never fulfilled. Plus a program with three guests who out the man, his questionable promotion of cold fusion, and his ban from trading man behind the scenes, Canada's Nelson Skalbania. My guests in that 2007 program are Dr. David Santillo, the Greenpeace scientist, Pat Mooney from the ETC Group, and Vancouver Sun business investigator David Baines. It's a tale of intrigue and misrepresentation that may have happened again, this time to a prominent First Nation in Canada. Get all that, plus all interviews and speeches from today's show, as free MP3s in my blog at ecoshock.info or from our website at ecoshock.org. This is shocking behavior by Canada and the United States, both of whom agreed to the ocean fertilization ban and limits on geoengineering. It's a disappointment from a respected West Coast tribe, the Haida, who have been environmentally progressive. Did they not look up George's record as a promoter who does not deliver? I'm not disappointed in Russ George. Everybody expected this driven man to try and try again. He thinks he's right where everybody else is wrong. He's a kind of ocean outlaw. The publicity and the millions raised for each project as the would-be doctor or senior scientist sails again, well, that's just gravy for him. Russ George is a one-man ocean-wrecking ball and the poster child for why we need ocean enforcement and a real moratorium on geoengineering. Stay tuned for another industrial crime. Indigenous women in Canada are raising their voices against the polluting tar sands and the pipeline releasing their poisons to the world.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.